my soul, all my inmost being, everything that's on the inside of us. Praise his name. Why? Why? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, because he's the one who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, but his deeds to the people of Israel. And here's an amazing section. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's forever far, isn't it? Because the two never meet, do they? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far, so far, has he removed our transgressions from us. When Jesus forgives your sin, it's gone. Now listen to this. This is the verse for the morning. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And as for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Because the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, you who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, and you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Guess what it ends? Do you know how it ends? Praise the Lord, O my soul. It's me. It's me. It's you. It's us. Saying, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, all you his people, because he's good. He's good. Let's sing a hymn before I open. His children. The NIV says has compassion. I like the King James. Pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Let me tell you a couple of stories. I don't know whether you watched the news this week. This young woman caught on a speeding offense, knew her parents objected to that and all sorts of things, so she took her life. A young man did the same in Southend, not for speeding. And he was 21 year old. But he wrote the note. No one cares. In prisons, in hospitals, in nursing homes, in the big houses, in the tiny little terraces, behind closed doors, even sitting in churches, there are a countless number of people who feel just the same. The sense of loneliness, the feeling of of being unloved leads to another kind of feeling of despair, unwanted, awful despair. The causes? Well, it hardly matters. Hardly matters. Guy hugged me in the pharmacy, the co-op, the old co-op one, just when I was picking up a prescription, talking to me like an old lost friend. He's homeless. You could feel the stench, it's early morning of the alcohol. It doesn't matter the cause, broken family relationships, bereavements, pain because of what they're suffering, the failure to find purpose in life, being let down, even being betrayed. The trauma of life makes people say, no one cares. Now here's my second story. And it's the most bizarre and unbelievable thing that happened. I picked it up in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a true story of a 16-year-old girl who'd been kidnapped and held prisoner for 4 months in an attic kind of room at the church. And week after week for 4 months, the people had met, the congregation had worshipped, they'd been singing, they'd been praying, they'd been enjoying fellowship, and for 4 long months, in that same building, there was a terrified human being that needed to be rescued. And it was two of the maintenance staff. For some reason, they went into that area that was not normally their domain, that found her and rescued her. And there she was, a helpless captive. Can you imagine it? Locked away in one of the rooms here that we don't use for a period of time. But isn't that too near the truth? Isn't that too near the truth? People taken prisoner. Paul talks to Timothy about people who need to come to their senses and escape from the trap of Satan, who has taken them captive, prisoner, to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. You see, I'm reading this psalm. You see, I take those kind of practical, personal incidents and stories, and I bring them here. And I bring myself here because one of the most revolutionary things that the Bible reveals and declares to us is that God loves us. It's staggering. It's amazing, but it's simple. Yet it's beyond our understanding that the God whom heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain, 1 Kings 8, knows us as individuals, knows every detail of our lives, cares for us with an incredible love, that he can scrutinize all our motives, and his all-seeing eye can see what we're up to, if it's right, if it's wrong, our desires, our actions, and yet love us. A God whose love is never exhausted because it's an everlasting love. And if you and I are ever tempted to think it's possible that no one cares, then look to the cross at Calvary. And there you will see the greatest demonstration of God's love. And you'll see it in the death of Jesus. And it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. And it wasn't because the Roman guards were there. But this perfect love for every one of us, the kind of loving that will pay the price for all the wrongdoing that ever was thought or said and done. All the evil actions, all the wrong attitudes. And the remarkable thing is, it is Jesus who reveals God to us. So what word can he use? What relationship will describe how God feels about his creation? So out of all the choices he could have made, he chose this one, Father. That God would be our Heavenly Father. So you have a verse like this, you see, that Father pities us, has compassion on us. Jesus told a story. If you read the sequence of the Bible readings, today's reading is about the story of the father with the two boys. We call it the story of the prodigal son. And he became rebellious. It wasn't what he should have been. And then he comes back, and it's the father who runs to him. He doesn't want him to go into the village or the town where they were living, looking like he looked. Bring the robe! And the robe covered up the stinking, dirty clothes from the pig pen. Put shoes on his slaves walk without shoes. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. That was Father in action. And when you turn back the pages of your Bible, there's a song that swells and surges with the admiration of God's wonderful deeds and gifts and his blessing and his tremendous kindness. And here in this psalm, the high note is this about our sins being carried away as far from us as the east is from the west. We think, isn't that wonderful? But hear it. Hear it. Listen. There is another chord vibrating, reverberating. You see, another chord that's meant to strike the very inner part of us. This inner place that's locked up. It's an echo. It's music that you've got to feel. You've got to learn to sing. It's a song to you. As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. It's the father heart of God going out to your heart and to your mind. It's about our Heavenly Father doing as much as he can, indeed more than he can, more than any earthly father. It's the music of heaven. It's the paean of praise that he pities you when you groan, when you sigh, because he sees the end from the beginning at this moment of time. When you and I don't, he pities you. When all the trials and the troubles that are going through, he's going to work for your good in them because he pities you. He knows how they will shape, how they will mold, how they will fashion our character and our destiny. So he pities us. And though he knows maybe there are things in our hearts and our lives, the sin that he has to deal harshly with, if he's going to bring us to what that great big theological word, to the place of sanctification, to being holy people, he pities us. And he pities us as a father pities his children. How is that? How is that? How have we behaved as fathers, the men here? And your mothers too. There's pain and there's joy in having children. No matter what they do, you're always going to be mom and dad. You're always going to be the father. No matter the disappointments, no matter the experiences, no matter the tears that they make you shed, no matter the responsibilities that they walk out of in their lives, you never stop being father, mother. So what is a father's compassion? What is a father's pity? Well, let's talk about its embrace first. Because it embraces the child's ignorance. And we have to learn, realize, acknowledge that God is not angry with us because we don't know everything. Or even because the little bit we know, we turn it upside down, topsy-turvy. You know, at school, woe betide you. We're all much, much older here this morning. Woe betide you if you didn't absorb, if you didn't learn everything that the teacher said and taught. And the questions were often reinforced with the back of your head or here. When I was coming through grammar school, it was the girls who offered their gym slipper to the teacher so I could get the whack, and so on. That's how learning was reinforced. My dad didn't do that. My father showed me another way by sharing hour by hour to do something so I could try and try again until I get it. And incredibly, that's how I taught my own children. See, a father does not act like a schoolmaster because he pities his children. And he is willing to be patient. He's willing to teach them. Because children make so many mistakes. Others will laugh. They will ridicule, so that a tear will form in their eyes and roll down their cheeks. But God will smile at his children. Yet such is his love, there is no scorn, there is no ridicule in that smile. You are too stupid for words. Doesn't ever say that. You're too bad. You're too ignorant. Never says that. You remember how Jesus spoke to his disciples? I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. So little by little, he teaches us. It's worth everything in this world to know somebody like that. Like the man Jesus touched and transformed in a moment. He said, you know what? Once I was blind. Now I can see. Yet, push on. Paul says, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I'm longing to know you, even to know you so much better, and to know the power of your resurrection. Maybe we don't know as much as the most experienced saint. I talk about myself. Maybe I don't know doctrine and theology like a colleague. But none of that diminishes or inhibits my Heavenly Father from loving me and from loving you. And if he doesn't condemn us, if he has pity on a children's ignorance, so should we. That's the Father's embrace. But it's more than that. It's more than the child's ignorance. It's the child's weakness. You know, children can't do much, especially little children. They're too young, they're too helpless to go out on their own. The Bible says, would a mother abandon her baby? Of course she wouldn't. So what does she do? She carries it. It's not a burden, she carries it. And our Heavenly Father knows our weaknesses and our helplessness. It says here, he knows our frame. He remembers that we're just like the dust, how we were formed, and so on. He knows how feeble some of us are, and as we've got older, how frail some of us are, physically and mentally. Because we're not made of cast iron. So he pities us. Because that's what dads do. In a father's embrace, it's taking on board the child's ignorance and the child's weakness. And so what does father do? He lifts us up. But there's a third thing about children. Not just their weakness and their ignorance, but their foolishness. Their foolishness. Children do silly and stupid things. They play childish pranks and foolish games. And that is childishness. And when we were children, we did exactly the same. The same people and parents put up with us then. Do we not often fall into this very situation? Isn't it sometimes our questioning him, our doubting him, our displeasing him, our distressing him, at the very best in our response, guilty of childish behavior? So does God turn his back and say, well, that's it then? Oh, they go to the Congregational Church at Rochester. That's it. I've had enough of them. You will never hear that. You will never hear that. He'll never say to you, I'm finished with you. He says, I pity you. And the remarkable prayer Jesus prayed as men were murdering him was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And the Father forgives us, blesses us, pities us, has compassion on us. Why? Because we sometimes don't know what we do. See, that's the Father's embrace. How about its extent? This NIV uses this word compassion. What's he trying to point out to us? Oh, it's a compassion that covers all our faults. Children have faults that need to be corrected and forgiven. And then there's the embrace. Tim set something on fire in the garden. He was building a kind of place. And I had to correct him. I had to correct him. But after I corrected him, I said, now, son, let me hold you. Let me hold you. Because after the correction comes the Father's embrace. It's a compassion that covers all our faults. God is grieved. God is distressed by our sin. But as we open our hearts to him, look at this verse 8. He is slow to anger. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, verse 10. As far as the east is from the west. First back to verse 3. He forgives all our sins and transgressions. Hey, Peter, you still there? Of course he's still there. He denies his Lord with those oaths and that cursing. You're finished. That's you done. You're on your way. You're out of the church for a long time. But there's a look of love from Jesus. And then there is a gentle word on resurrection day. Hey, go and tell the disciples and Peter. And in a couple of days, with John and the rest on the shoreline, he's back. And just a month or so, it's Pentecost. And this is the man then who stands and 3,000 are swept into the kingdom of God. You see, I wanted to tell the medicine is this morning, that our Heavenly Father's embrace, his hold on us, his love for us, is an everlasting love. He wants to hold you. He wants to blot out your sin. He wants to lift you up. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. He pities you. Is that it? No. It's a compassion that covers all our faults. And it's a compassion that combats all our falls. You see, children fall down. And they fall down repeatedly. I was only in Littles with Tashi this week. And she's wearing these flip-flop things. And there's just a smallest little ridge. And Gray's knees. That's children. They're not looking where they're going. They're bouncing and jumping and so on. Children fall down. What about when they're learning to walk? They tumble in the street. They fall down. When they're learning to ride a bike, they fall off the bike. They graze their knees. They break a limb. And they cry because it hurts. Oof. Should have known better. And we walk away. Do we? Do we? No, we don't. When they fall down, we're there. And like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. You come with a grace this morning. With a cut. With a bruise. With an injury. With something that's broken and bleeding. Come on. Trust him just as you did at the beginning. And begin again today. Because as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them. You that fear him. He'll cover all our faults. It'll cover and combat all our falls. You say, well, I'm a sinner. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So come on. And when children feel pain, as parents, you try to soothe that pain away. It's hard to sit by the bedside of a child and watch them suffer. You long to take their place. When Mark was born and this ugly purple thing was on the back of his head, he couldn't lie down any way, shape, or form. We just get in the vehicle with his carry cot, drive through the night, holding Joyce, holding him. Oh, you wanted to take his place. I wanted to take his place. I had a problem this week. I had to sit him down and say, oh, Mark, I want to help you. I want to bless you. I don't want to shout at you. But you need to know. And our Heavenly Father pities us. If you're feeling pain, you soothe that pain away. And there are people who struggle and suffer a lifetime. And God never reproaches you. He is the friend who sticks closer than the brother. I've lived to discover that children are hurt and wronged by others. So we take their side. We try to right the wrongs. Children have fears, so we comfort and console them. They're frightened by death, or whatever it is that terrifies them. I don't like heights. They don't like the unknown. They don't like the dark, so they must have a light on at night. Whatever, whatever, as a father pities his children, So the Lord pities them that fear him. Anything frighten you? Maybe ridiculous to somebody else. I'm not interested in that. Whatever you want, whatever your grief, whatever your hurt, whatever your fear, whatever the distress, go to where the Father stand. Go to the mercy seat and leave it there. Here's the medicine. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to hold you. He wants to bless you. He wants to be the glory and the lifter of your head. I was bowed down here, 7:30 this morning, struggling. But as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. So you want to know its extent? It's as far as you. And he will bless you this morning and help you today and take you into this next week, because you are here. Here, right here in this psalm. So that's why all must be well. For as a father pities or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pities and has compassion on them that fear him. Find it out for yourself.